Hello and welcome to the weekly Cosmoverse Twitter space, where we will introduce you to all of our amazing diamond sponsors and speakers that are involved in, that are like involved at the Cosmoverse main event in Istanbul this year. And today I'm pleased to be joined by Sion from Terra. How are you doing?
Hey, yes, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, the pleasure is mine. And before we dive deeper into what's next for Terra, before we touch base on all of the major developments that have been taking place in your ecosystem recently, I would kindly ask you to introduce yourself. So what are you doing at Terra nowadays? And maybe a little bit of background of your journey in Web3.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So So my name is Zion, and I'm the head of communications at TFL. So my journey in Web3, I've been in the space for over 6 years now. I got into it in 2017. As soon as I learned about the Web3 space, I just immediately became enthralled with everything that it stood for. The ability that, you know, basically the idea that we could build a new open and decentralized and permissionless financial system that provides greater access to people around the world in developing countries. You know, I'm personally from the States, but I've spoken with tons of people over the past 6 years around the world who have seen significant benefit from interacting in the Web3 space. And I think that benefit is going to grow as Web3 expands. I'm personally very excited to see kind of where the space is headed. I'm currently at Token 2049 in Singapore, and I can tell you that it does not seem like a bear market over here. There's a ton of development happening in the space. A ton of really smart people are coming into the space. You know, and I think that when you're seeing a sold out event of 10,000 people in an area like Singapore, which is outside of, you know, what I think most people in traditional technology industries would kind of look at as kind of one of the hubs of the world, you can kind of see that the crypto space is very much alive and well, despite what the market prices are saying. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying Singapore right now. And I totally agree. It feels really like that we are at the tail of the bear market right now. Things are getting more exciting, as well as all of the, again, major developments that are going on at Terra, which we will talk about in a second. But let's start maybe a little bit like in the beginning, so to say, like the beginning of the bear market was also connected to the UST collapse in 2022. A lot of people have followed this, but after that, they haven't followed the Terra ecosystem that much. So could you like maybe talk a little bit about what happened in the meantime? So if you could explain to people who did not follow the process what you guys were focusing on.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So it seems like some time ago now, but I think a lot of people maybe in this space and in the Cosmos industry would be familiar. So, you know, back before USC's DPEG, Terra had one of the most vibrant ecosystems in all of Web3. So there was a variety of different DeFi projects, probably in the area of DeFi specifically. Terra was probably second to only Ethereum in that regard. We had NFT projects, infrastructure projects, and the like. So it was a very thriving, very strong ecosystem with a lot of diversity, I would say. But following UST's DPEG in May 2022, you know, the Terra community came together and was in agreement that, you know, the Terra developer ecosystem and community were very much worth preserving. So after discussions between validators, ecosystem builders, ourselves at TFL, as well as you know, other community members, the community voted to rebuild the Terra ecosystem on a new chain, absent algorithmic stablecoin. So pretty much just completely removing that risk for now. And the idea here was to start fresh and give Terra's ecosystem of builders a place where they could continue to build. And as part of this, TFL worked alongside the community to fund the continued development of many Terra ecosystem projects. And I'm pleased to say that, you know, thanks to those efforts, these projects have been able to continue operations and employ tons of people in Web3. You know, so instead of some of these individuals having to go back to working in Web2, we've seen a variety of projects that have been able to continue to employ people in the Web3 space, which I think is a win amongst all the chaos that ensued. So similar to Ethereum's DAO hack moment, the old Terra chain was renamed to Terra Classic, and the new chain retained the brand name Terra. And this was that was part of the governance proposal that passed that the community voted on. And I just wanted to mention, you know, throughout this entire period, after during and also in the ensuing, you know, 15 or so months after the DPEG, the Terra community has just shown incredible resiliency. You know, I think that this is something that has been underreported when people have been talking about the Terra ecosystem. You know, now there's over 40 different projects building on Terra. We expect this number to grow once we roll out a new grants framework in the coming months, as well as a couple other programs that we can talk about in a bit here. And I think I saw a stat the other day as well that TFL's devs alone still rank in the top three across all Cosmos chains in terms of GitHub commits. I think I was looking at something like Dev3Map that tracks development activity across chains using GitHub. And this, you know, basically seeing that fact alongside the fact that this doesn't include projects like Jax, which is a smart contract platform that's going to allow developers to write and deploy smart contracts written in JavaScript on the Terra blockchain, as well as other projects like Feather, Project Q, and others that we can talk about, which are being built behind the scenes as we speak. So that's not included in there as well. But I still think, you know, very materially, we still have a long way to go if we want to rise to prominence to kind of where we were previously and surpass that eventually. But the community is the bedrock of any Web3 ecosystem, and Terra has one of the strongest communities in crypto without a doubt. So as long as we have that, we get many at-bats to build interesting products, and we're very hard to kill, which I think the community takes a lot of pride in. You know, Paul Graham, who's the founder of Y Combinator in the States, talks about this in the context of startups, you know, being difficult to kill. And I think it's relevant in the prolonged bear market conditions that we're in now. So I think the Terra community takes a lot of pride in being builder focused and operating on the edge of Web3 innovation. And, you know, just as a case study of that, you know, throughout this bear market, as we've continued to build, you know, we launched Alliance, and there's been a lot of talk in the Web3 space about restaking and this idea of, you know, in some contexts, it's securing other chains. And then in other contexts, it's, you know, in the form of Alliance, it's creating these economic agreements between chains, kind of like free trade agreements between nations, which we can delve a little bit deeper into that as well. But just as a case study of, you know, the Terra community's focus on kind of operating on the edge of Web3 innovation, I was listening to a podcast with the founder of Eigenlayer, they're building a restaking protocol on Ethereum. And he was talking, like, this is like months back now, but he was talking about how they were like getting ready to launch Eigenlayer, which is restaking, and how it was this innovative new solution and everything that it was going to enable. And I was just kind of like laughing to myself, just thinking that Alliance had already been live for a month at that point and had already enabled the first transaction in Web3 where you restaked a token from one blockchain on another. So I think that, you know, that kind of flew under the radar because Terra is still in the process of rebuilding our reputation and kind of reestablishing ourselves as a leading innovator in the space like we once were. But I think that's going to improve over time. And like I said, the Terra community is incredibly resilient, incredibly determined, and very builder focused. So I think we're going to continue to see a lot of interesting projects come out of the ecosystem in the coming months and years.
Totally agree on this. And I also think that Terra, the Terra community is still very, very intact and incredibly strong. I mean, we have a bunch of folks here in the space right now. And in that sense, I believe the Terra community is much better positioned than 99% of today's crypto projects. We will also definitely talk about all of the new cool features that you were shipping so far with Alliance, with Feather, Station Wallet, Wrap Protocol, and also Enterprise DAO stands out for me here. But before we do that, you mentioned the strong community aspect, but what is like also about the dApps where on Terra? Because you mentioned Terra was like by far one of the most DeFi ecosystems, maybe alongside Ethereum. So could you like maybe talk a little bit about the Terra dApp? So what are they doing now? Are they also part of this rebuilding program, or did most of them leave the ecosystem, or did they rebrand? So what is happening here, and generally how do you plan to get new dApps over to Terra?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, when it comes to the applications that are building on Terra now, I think there's definitely some DeFi applications there. And I think that the number of DeFi applications that are going to get built on Terra will increase, like I said, once we roll out a new grants framework, as well as some different initiatives, which I can talk a little bit about here. So when it comes to developers building on a chain, there's a variety of different reasons why developers pick one chain over another. One of the reasons is just, I think one of the important things that we need to focus on is just kind of meeting developers where they are. So one of the friction points for a lot of Web2 developers to break into the Web3 space, which if people aren't aware, you know, like the developers we have in the Web3 space is like probably less than 10%, probably significantly less than 10% of the world's development talent are building in Web3 today. So most of the developers that we want to attract to build in Web3 are not yet in Web3. So I think it's important to meet developers where they are. And that kind of means not forcing them to learn a new programming language to build something on your chain. So this is where we've been working on a project called Jax, which is a smart contract platform that's going to allow developers to write and deploy smart contracts written in JavaScript, which is, if people aren't familiar, JavaScript is the number one programming language in the world. So it has the largest programming language community with, I think, around 17 million developers worldwide. So you can imagine that, you know, creating something that enables developers to build using a language they're familiar and comfortable with, how much that kind of assuages or reduces the friction that could occur when they're thinking about potentially, you know, building in the Web3 space. So that's one of the things that I think is important, one of the things that we're doing. A couple of the other things that I think are important as well is aligning incentives with developers. So one of the things that we'll be doing is everything has to go through governance, you know, the things that we're thinking about doing at TFL. And these ideas are going to be discussed with the community. And I think some of them already are. But some of these ideas are things like a fee share model. So this is where TFL would match a portion of the fees that builders generate on Terra and provide that in the form of a non-Luna token to those developers. So it's not creating sell pressure on Luna, but the developers are seeing a return on their development activity on chain. In addition to that, we also want to provide some incentive-based Luna rewards that will unlock at different thresholds of performance. Which are, I think, really important to give developers and founders skin in the game in the event that Terra succeeds as a network. So those are a couple of the things that I think are important. Outside of that, TFL is also going to be and very open to paying to get essential ecosystem tools built in the chain. So if there's tools that the ecosystem needs that maybe we don't have the capacity to build ourselves, not like we don't have the knowledge, but maybe we don't have the, you know, developers at that specific point in time to build that. We're more than willing to fund the development of those essential tools, so the ecosystem projects have those to utilize And we'll also be providing scalable RPC solutions. So there's a lot of things that we actually already have that make it pretty easy to launch on Terra. And I think that, you know, the number of those tools that we have, you know, things like Terrain, which is a smart contract development environment that you can use to build on Terra, Mantlemint, which is an RPC solution for dApps to connect to and query blockchain data from, and other tools as well. You know, I think those things are equally as important. So I think when you combine things like meeting developers where they are with financial incentives and aligned incentives with the growth of the ecosystem, so you're not just kind of paying them to come in as a one-off to like build something and there's no alignment with the Terra ecosystem and kind of what they're doing, which is, I think, what a lot of what's happened a lot in the past with not just the way that Terra's went about community pool funding, but also other ecosystems as well. And I think that we can improve on that. And the community indeed has been discussing this and has been discussing a variety of different ways to iterate on that model. So I think that, you know, the way that I'm kind of seeing things is, you know, it's September now. We have maybe 3.5 months left of this year in 2023. We're in the bear market. TFL has been building a lot of infrastructure to support native applications on Terra, as well as the Terra ecosystem as a whole. I think if we can roll out some compelling frameworks for developers in Q4 of this year, alongside some of the other stuff that we're building, like Jax and other stuff, I think that it's going to be very compelling for developers to build on Terra in 2024. And hopefully that, you know, hopefully by that point, we'll start seeing the market turn around for the better.
Yeah, I totally agree with this, especially in 2021, we have seen a lot of the developers basically extracting all of the value that was on chain, including all of those crazy ecosystem funds that were launched, and the money just disappeared, and so many ecosystems experienced, yeah, just like a value exploits. So I totally feel you here. And also in the context of JavaScript developers, I think this is also like kind of the key. I remember like at Cosmos 2022, Agoric is also building, a general purpose layer one where people can code in JavaScript. And he showed us a statistic that there are more lawyers in Medellin than, for example, Solidity developers worldwide. So I agree that it's key to get more JavaScript developers into the space. You mentioned Alliance a couple of minutes before. So can we like talk a little bit about Alliance, because you mentioned it in the context of restaking, and essentially it's a module to form economic alliances between blockchains. So could you like break this down for us and explain to us what this means precisely?
Yeah, sure. Happy to go into that. Maybe it'd be helpful to first give a little bit of background on kind of what I see as Terra's focus today, and kind of how Alliance fits into that kind of framework. Would that be helpful to start off with?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, when it comes to Terra, we've always believed that the next evolution of the internet is going to be built on multiple robust, digitally native and decentralized economies, and this coincides with, you know, the I think very well known and also very truthful meme from Terra Classic, which was that decentralized economies need decentralized money. And the core beginning part of that phrase is decentralized economies, plural, right? So we've always believed that the next evolution of the internet is going to be built on multiple blockchains. But in our view, there's multiple reasons why an interchain ecosystem hasn't yet taken off. So these are things like poor UX. So I think a lot of people that have been in the Web3 space for some time are pretty well acquainted with the UX and how it's very limiting in the fact that you pretty much need to have a pretty significant amount of technical knowledge of the space to navigate and even use a lot of the products that exist. Then you also have issues like user and liquidity fragmentation, the high cost of engineering to launch a new blockchain itself, and also the high cost of bootstrap, the economic viability of the chain, where you see this kind of proverbial slow death of chains. You know, after they launch, they gradually will just kind of die because the difficulty there is the fact that the staking rewards for the token when they first launch are denominated entirely in this recursive, low liquidity, highly volatile asset. And this is actually where Alliance comes in, which is where Alliance allows these chains to kind of bring in diversified cash flows from other ecosystems and use those cash flows to augment and diversify the staking yield for their chain. So let me walk through an example of how this works with a smaller new chain and a larger chain. So the way that this would work is, let's say I'm a new chain and I'm launching today, and let's just remove for the sake of this example, some of the other stuff we're building, like Feather, Station, and some other projects. And let's just talk about Alliance in particular. So let's assume that the chain launches. When they launch, their staking rewards are entirely denominated in their tokens. So like I said, this makes it difficult for potential token purchasers to analyze what the value of this token is actually worth, because the token is the rewards that they're earning by staking this token are entirely denominated in this recursive, highly volatile, low liquidity asset. But what Alliance allows you to do is bring in these diversified cash flows from other ecosystems. So if this smaller chain were to form an alliance with a larger chain, let's say like Cosmos Hub or Osmosis or Terra or another chain, what they can do is they can enable the Alliance asset from the larger chain on their chain. And what that allow them to do is it'll allow users from the larger chain to stake their tokens natively on their chain, the smaller chain. And what that does is a portion of the staking yield that the stakers from the larger chain are bringing in can be used to diversify and augment the staking yield of the native chain. So you're bringing in this uncorrelated, less volatile, higher liquidity token from another ecosystem in the form of a liquid staking token, which, if people aren't familiar here with what a liquid staking token is, it's just a token that you receive when you stake your token with a liquid staking provider. So it allows you to earn staking rewards while also being able to use that token for different things in DeFi. So in this case, you're staking it on a native chain, you're bringing it to the smaller chain, and you're staking it again to earn dual yield. So as a user, it makes total sense because you're earning boosted yield. And this is how you get this is where the name Alliance comes from, because it's a mutually beneficial relationship for both the smaller chain, who's benefiting from the economic viability of bringing in these diversified cash flows, and the larger chain, who now has added utility for its token, because they're able to take that token and bring it over to this new chain and earn additional yield. So let me pause there and then see if there's any questions that you have on that, and happy to dive into anything that you find interesting.
Yeah, 100%. We actually got a question here from Akujiro. So if you want to ask a question, I think that would be cool here to step in.
Yeah, hi everyone. I got a question about Alliance, and right now the staking time is zero. So basically you can stake and unstake your liquid staking tokens instantly. Will that stay in the future like that? Is there a plan to like keep it at zero to like do something else?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And thanks for bringing that up. So that's actually unique to Terra. So what we did was we actually enabled that as a feature. And to answer your question just right off the bat, yes, we plan on keeping that for the foreseeable future. So there will be a 0-day unbonding period. And what that means for people that might not be familiar, that means that right now Alliance is already live on Terra. So you can actually take tokens from Migaloo as well as Carbon. So this would be B Whale, Amp Whale, and R Swift. And you can bridge those to Terra and stake them to earn additional yield. So you earn, like, for instance, in the case of Migaloo, you would earn Whale stake rewards plus Luna stake rewards on Terra. And there's a 0-day unbonding period for doing that. So if you're already staking on Migaloo, it's kind of a no-brainer because there's no lockup period. So you can just bring it over and earn additional yield. And yeah, Akujiro just mentioned, there's no unbonding period there. So So that's what that means. And yes, to answer your question, we plan on continuing to enable that in the future. And the way that we did that was through the protocol that we built as part of the alliance signaling proposal, which basically is I think two smart contracts that dynamically calculate the rewards that are sent from Terra staking module to the liquid staking tokens for other chains. So, you know, in the case of like, if we have like 10 alliance chains on Terra, these smart contracts dynamically calculate how much Luna stake rewards go to stakers of all 10 of those alliance assets on Terra. And it's calculated based on the yields that those chains actually provide to Luna stakers on their chains. So that's where that's kind of something that we've done on Terra to kind of enhance the efficiency of the alliance module itself.
I have a follow up, and I got to be a bit direct with this because it's really great that there's zero unbonding period. That the unbonding period is basically zero. And it would stay like this. Is that the confidence from Terra and Luna speaking there that you're like, okay, we can do it, zero unbonding period? Because it's great that there are so many opportunities that could be done on a protocol level with a liquid stake token that are enabled for Alliance. So that's why my question, because there are some ideas. It's only working if the unbonding period stays zero. So my question is like, why? And hopefully it will stay like this. I'm not sure if there's ever the question that if that question ever raises that Terra might want to change it or not, or Luna the protocol want to change it. That's why.
Yeah. So I think your question was, Yeah, maybe could you rephrase the question? Maybe.
Yeah, sure. My question was, where is the so idea of zero
to like change the?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, why do we want to keep the zero day unbonding? Is that what it is?
Yes, exactly. Because don't understand me wrong. I love it. I want to keep it that way. I just want to get like the guarantee from you or from like Terra that it's like, oh yeah, it's gonna stay for the foreseeable future at zero, not like. Tomorrow we need to change it. That's what it is.
Oh yeah. No, we have no plans. You know, obviously that's something that, you know, that could be changed through governance. But you know, I personally see no reason to change that anytime soon. Like you said, one of the things that I would actually like to see get built on Terra by a team would be basically a wrapper for staked alliance assets. So that they could be used in Terra DeFi or in TeFi. So basically, what you would be able to do there is basically, when you stake your alliance assets on Terra, you just get a receipt token for that, right? Kind of like a liquid staking derivative. But in this case, it's like an alliance, you know, maybe it's called like A something, whatever the token is. So then it's like alliance, whatever token. And then you can use that token within Terra DeFi. Which would be really interesting because then you're earning the native staking yield of the chain that you staked on. Let's say it's like Megaloo, for instance, or future chains that Terra forms an alliance with. You're earning the Luna staking yield from staking on Terra with a 0-day unbonding period, and then you're able to use that in Terra DeFi. One of the things that I think would be interesting as kind of an augmentation of that would be when Nebula launches, which is a protocol that basically creates indexes for different crypto tokens. So kind of like baskets of different crypto tokens would be to create like baskets of alliance assets and maybe create one with a basket of these A, et cetera, tokens on Terra where you could basically get exposure to a variety of maybe like three or you know, more alliance assets while still earning the yield. From these tokens.
Yeah, there's so much possibility with that, especially because the unbonding period is zero. Whenever you lock your tokens, your liquid stake tokens in a protocol, they could automatically be alliance staked as well, because the unbonding period is zero. And whenever the tokens get unlocked again, they will just get unstaked and then go back to the end user. And this is what I had in mind, because it's a bit mind-blowing that the unbonding period is zero and there are so many possibilities how you can spin it. So yeah, thanks for the answer, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the questions.
And maybe also to dive one last time a little bit deeper into Alliance, Zion. So we talk about liquid staking and restaking all the time right now in crypto across all ecosystems. So do you think that this is like one of those primitives or narratives that will dominate eventually the next bull market, similar to what we have seen with DeFi and NFTs in the last one?
Yeah, it's a good question. So personally, when I think about restaking, I'm really thinking about it in the context of trade agreements between chains, specifically in the context of Alliance. So in the case of just using like liquid staking tokens itself, I don't think that within itself is super interesting. But I think when you start to form, when you start to utilize those tokens in interesting ways within DeFi, that's when I think it becomes a lot more interesting. And if you think of blockchains in the context of digital nation states with their own communities, their own cultures, their own businesses, and you think about these decentralized economies forming free trade agreements with other decentralized economies, it's something that we haven't yet seen. So this is something that Terra is enabling with Alliance. And it's obviously a public good. This is, if people are interested, to learn a little bit about kind of what we've been building at TFL over the past, year or so since the DPEG, a lot of the stuff we've been building is actually public goods that anyone is free to utilize within the Cosmos ecosystem. So any chain can integrate this. They don't need, permission from TFL to integrate Alliance and start using it. And similarly, they're not forced to form an alliance with Terra to utilize the module. And we think that's very important, because we think that if you build something that has real value, people are either going to use it or they're not at the end of the day, right? Regardless of anything else, at the end of the day, it just comes down to, are you building a product that people want to use? I think for me, when I think about, kind of the next bull market and kind of what is going to push that ahead, I think it's a variety of factors. I don't think it's any one thing that kind of pushes something over the edge. I mean, the impetus behind the last bull market was not like one single thing. It was a variety of things. You had like, for instance, in the US as one nation within the world, you had like stimulus checks. So there's a lot of money flowing into the economy because of COVID. And then that money was then plunged into risk on assets like crypto, which led to inflated prices. You had interest rates in the US at historic lows. So the cost to borrow capital was very low. So that increases the amount of risk that people are willing to take, because the cost of capital is very cheap. So you had also like the proliferation of DeFi and NFTs also contributing to the excitement. You had like NBA Top Shots on Ethereum, which brought a lot of new users into the ecosystem. So it's kind of this amalgamation of different components that lead to one bull market to the next. And so I do see these trade agreements being a foundational element of not just the next bull market, but the future of Web3 and just the future of the internet. I do think that this is going to be an essential component, is different blockchain ecosystems working together instead of being completely siloed to a large extent as they are today. Like, there's not really much incentive alignment between chains today. Even in the Cosmos ecosystem, I think the Cosmos ecosystem kind of likes to gallivant as an ecosystem of everyone's kumbaya and everyone works together, but it's still very much P2P in my opinion. And I think that Alliance is going to help enable more incentive alignment between chains and between communities. And, you know, when you create, like, you look at an example like Base on Ethereum with the Optimism stack, and you see kind of the agreement that they did, albeit this was not something like Alliance. This was like a business to business contract deal that they did with like lawyers and negotiations. And, you know, Optimism basically provided a token grant based on certain terms to Base. And Base in return is providing a portion of their fees to the Optimism collective, which is an interesting kind of long-term token alignment between two projects. But I think what it shows is that different models are being explored right now to align incentives across the ecosystem so that things aren't as siloed as they used to be. And I think that trend is going to continue and things are going to become more and more interconnected and more incentive aligned. And Alliance will be, I think, a big contributing factor to that.
Yeah, totally agree on this. And before I pick up another question for you, so you were talking a lot about public goods and the diversity of the ecosystem consisting of different chains and the collaboration that will happen across the whole ecosystem, across the whole crypto industry, I mean, and that we also need to set alliances for that. I want to talk a little bit about Feather here, because Feather is like also one of the things that you offer to the crypto industry that everyone can use. It allows people to create their own sovereign blockchain. So can you elaborate on this a little bit? Is it something similar to the Cosmos SDK, or how can people imagine that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually attended a Cosmos Singapore event here with a lot of Cosmos builders just the other day with Zucky, Sunny, Charles from DYDX, Celestia, Archway, a variety of different teams. And the way that Feather, you know, one of the things that they were talking about at the event was the Cosmos SDK. And kind of how building on Cosmos compares to building on something like Ethereum with like rollup as a service or rollapse or like the OP stack, some of these different options that developers have. So Feather is not a substitute to the Cosmos SDK. In fact, it's a complement to it. So what Feather allows you to do is actually when you deploy a Feather chain, when you deploy a chain using Feather, it is a Cosmos SDK compatible chain. So you get all the modularity benefits, you get all the customizability benefits that you get with the Cosmos SDK stack. But the benefits that Feather provides that you don't get with the Cosmos SDK today is now you can launch a new blockchain in a matter of minutes without needing to coordinate with validators on, you know, doing the GenTX files and getting, you know, basically doing chain genesis. You also don't need to worry about funding or building essential ecosystem tools. So things like a wallet, a block explorer, an RPC solution for your dApps to query on-chain data, developer tooling, as well as Alliance is going to be integrated into every chain that uses Feather as well. And then we also have other tools like Warp and Enterprise, which are going to further enable these chains to be successful with, you know, Enterprise being a no-code DAO management and creation tool, and Warp being a tool that allows you to automate dApp functionality in a decentralized manner. So Feather is kind of like the flagship product that TFL is working on that is a culmination of all these different projects that we've been working on. And the idea here is just to significantly lower the cost of engineering to launch a new blockchain. And we really want to position Terra as the easiest place to launch and use blockchains. And if you think of Terra as a digital nation state, the idea here is to build products that solve these problems I was mentioning before, like poor user experience, user and liquidity fragmentation, the high cost of engineering to launch a new blockchain, and also like the high cost to bootstrap economic viability of chains. And ultimately, allowing Terra to form these mutually beneficial relationships with a ton of different decentralized economies. And I think that's a really compelling value proposition for developers, because today, if you want to launch a new blockchain, there's just a ton of energy and cost that goes into that, that can be completely abstracted away using Feather, and you get all the benefits that developers want with all the tooling that you'd also need as a blockchain ecosystem. So you get the sovereignty as your own chain because you have your own validators. You get the customizability of the Cosmos SDK stack, which allows you to program blocks and governance and different things like that. Plus you get all these essential ecosystem tools as well. So that's a little bit about Feather and how it works. And Feather is actually going to be, we're actually very far along in the development of Feather. So we actually should be launching Feather in Q4 of 2023 here, which is very exciting. We already have a few chains that are interested in launching, and we haven't even yet launched a landing page for it. So we've been talking with teams behind the scenes, but we actually plan on talking about this at Cosmoverse pretty extensively. And so if there's chain teams that are, if there's developers in the audience now that are potentially interested in transitioning their smart contract application into their own chain, or if there's developers that are looking to launch their own chain just in general, definitely reach out. I'd be happy to chat with you about this.
Yeah, that sounds very, very exciting, and really can't wait to learn more at Cosmoverse. But before I pick up the question from MB Azir, I hope I pronounced that right, I wanted to ask you real quick, so from a technical standpoint now, so is Feather completely decoupled from the Cosmos SDK and just compatible with it, or what is the connection here? You mentioned this in the very beginning, just wanted to clarify that again.
Yeah, so the blockchain that you launch is a Cosmos SDK blockchain. So that means that you can integrate, when you're creating the Feather blockchain in the CLI, you can choose which modules that you want integrated. And then after the chain launches, it's just like any other Cosmos SDK blockchain in the context of like upgrading or adjusting elements on your chain. You can add new modules. Like, let's say that Alliance wasn't built in. Alliance is obviously a Cosmos SDK module. Let's say Alliance wasn't built in and you launched a chain using Feather. You could pass a governance vote literally a day after you launch and integrate Alliance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. But yeah, now I would like to pick up the question that MB Azir has. The stage is yours. Can you hear us?
MB, can you hear us? Oh, he might be having issues with his mic there.
Yeah. Okay. Then I would say let's proceed with another topic, and maybe you can figure out your technical problems further down the road, MB. We have talked about Alliance. We have talked about Feather, and then you mentioned it a couple of minutes ago. Something that for me also stands out in terms of. Especially in terms of coordination, you also launched the Enterprise DAO. So could you maybe talk a little bit about the Enterprise DAO? Because I remember this time in 2021 and 2022 where everyone was talking about DAOs. So could you talk a little bit about this, since most of them do not exist anymore due to coordination problems, due to responsibility problems. So yeah, I would love to learn more here.
Sure, absolutely. So Enterprise at a high level is a no-code DAO creation and management tool suite. At least that's what it is today. What's really exciting about Enterprise is what's going to be coming soon as well, which will transform it into your all-in-one platform to manage on-chain organizations, which is a very exciting new upgrade with basically a new set of products that's going to be launching with Enterprise, and also basically just the ability to integrate new features and products into Enterprise in the future as well. But Enterprise DAO, which is what exists today on Enterprise, is a tooling suite that allows you to create a multi-sig, a token DAO, or an NFT DAO, and manage that on Enterprise very simply and easily. So what we've seen actually with this to date is how simple and easy it's been for NFT communities to unite their communities on Enterprise and enable things like NFT staking. which attach token rewards to the staking rewards of NFTs. And so what this enables is it's going to enable teams across Cosmos, because Enterprise is going cross-chain. So it's currently live on Terra, but Enterprise is going to be deploying, I think by the end of this month, I think starting in October, to a variety of different Cosmos chains. And it's going to enable these chains to basically manage cross-chain treasuries. You're going to be able to do governance proposals that basically effectuate changes for your DAO. You're going to, like I said, enable automated staking rewards. One of the cool things that's coming to Enterprise is actually an integration with Warp Protocol, which is the decentralized automation that I was talking about earlier. So basically what that'll allow you to do is basically automatically, natively within the Enterprise application, you'll be able to automatically distribute rewards and execute governance proposals on the application using Warp jobs, which is pretty cool. But at a high level, you know, like just without diving into like some of those details, which maybe aren't as exciting, you know, Enterprise is just a tool that drastically simplifies the creation and management of on-chain organizations. And we think that's really important because, like we said, if we're this vision of the future that we have, that the future is the next evolution of the internet is going to be built on multiple robust and digitally native decentralized economies. We need the businesses within those economies to be successful. And part of making those businesses successful and enabling these robust economies is by building the tools and the infrastructure to support those. And Enterprise is a really critical component of that, which is enabling you to create multi-sigs, which you can, you know, make different decisions as a small group, enable you to create token DAOs, like I said, and manage those. So you can, you know, launch a token, you can govern that token with your community natively on the application, as well as NFT DAOs, which allow you to do the same thing. So the features and functionality that are going to be coming to Enterprise in the future are very exciting, but I'll save those for the the upcoming announcements, the product announcement when we roll out the next version of Enterprise.
Nice. Hopefully at Cosmoverse, we will also learn more about this. But yeah, it seems like that MB, I think you have figured out your technical problem. So if you want to ask a question, the stage is yours.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me up. I actually, I was a listener rather than a speaker, so I'm not sure where the technical problems were. But I'm happy to be here. And the question I'd like to ask, Zion, is regarding Feather. It's backtracking a bit. And look, one of the questions I've heard many people say when they hear about Feather is, look, Cosmos, it already has enough blockchains. Why do we need more chains? So perhaps you could just elaborate on why a project or a protocol would want to have their own chain instead of setting up, say, on an L1 or an L2 in Cosmos. Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. So in short, there's a variety of reasons. And it also depends on the type of application or business, whatever way you want to think about it, that you're launching. So what are the benefits of launching your own chain versus launching a smart contract on an existing chain? Well, one of the primary benefits is you're priced like an L1. So the difference between launching your own blockchain and launching a smart contract on an existing chain is your token is immediately priced like an L1. It's priced completely different than a smart contract application on an existing chain because of what having your own blockchain enables, right? It makes it easier for other applications to basically, it's giving you additional utility for your token because your token can be used as like the primary fee token for that chain, the governance token for that chain. You can basically be as creative as you want with the tokenomics of the chain because you have full customizability, especially in the Cosmos world. You know what you're able to do versus like basically creating an L2 on like Ethereum is pretty pretty exciting in that space. Another reason is because it enables horizontal expansion. So if you're an existing application on an existing chain, you have to compete with other applications for block space. Which if you have your own chain, you don't, right? So you control all the blocks. So if you wanted to, you could just create a chain where, you know, other people can't build on it. It's just your chain and it's just for your application. And indeed, you control all of the block space of that chain. So you're not going to have to worry about increasing costs because other people are clogging up the chain. And it allows you to enhance your performance pretty significantly. And this is like one of the reasons why in the recent discourse around kind of comparing Cosmos, building a chain on Cosmos versus building an L2 on Ethereum, one of the main arguments for building on Cosmos eventually is that you do get much better customizability and performance than you would by launching like an L2 on one of these other chains in different ways. And so there was actually a great podcast if anyone's interested in kind of diving deeper into the comparison between Cosmos, Ethereum, and also Solana as well on Bankless recently. I think it was titled like The Blockchain Trilemma, and they kind of delve into pretty technically, like if you're interested, the differences between these ecosystems and kind of the differences between approaches and kind of how things are converging. One of the interesting things that they discuss is like how Ethereum is actually kind of converging on like the Cosmos vision of like app chains. But anyways, that's kind of a side note for anyone that might be interested. But to come back to your question, yeah, there's a variety of reasons why you'd want to launch your own chain versus launching an existing app on an existing chain. There's obviously benefits to launching an application on existing chains though. And for some applications, you know, some teams, they might still want to do that. Like you might want to compose with a variety of different applications on an existing chain out there already, in which case you could launch a smart contract on these chains. But today, like our fundamental, one of the key components of our thesis with Feather is that one of the reasons why we don't see more blockchains today is it's just like the cost of engineering is just super high in comparison. Like it just takes so much longer than launching a smart contract on an existing chain, right? And what launching a blockchain does is it allows you to start with a blank slate. You know, Balaji talks about this in his book, The Network State, another great read, if anyone is interested, or another great resource rather, because last one was a podcast. Check out The Network State. He talks about this, you know, like, why do you want to start a new country? Why do you want to start a new decentralized economy or a digital nation state, whatever way you want to think about it? The reason is because ultimately you want a blank slate, right? It's the same reason why we want to build new companies, right? We want to build a new company because we want a blank slate. We want to create something new, right? We want to be creative as humans. We want to innovate. We want to come up with new ideas. We want to be able to implement those ideas. And what Feather allows you to do is to implement your ideas more at scale. And it allows you to do so very quickly and have all the tooling that you need to be successful.
Yeah, thanks, Art. So in a way, it's not really a blank slate because Feather chains already come, I think, with, and they come with Enterprise, they come with Alliance, and Station. So really, like you said, a new Feather chain has all the tools for a new project just to launch and literally start running straight away, which is pretty great. I did have a follow up question, which goes back to Alliance and. If you don't mind backtracking for a sec, the question was, how does Alliance compare to Mesh Security and to ICA? What are the advantages that Alliance has over those other solutions? If you don't mind talking about that, Zoran.
Yeah, sure. Happy to touch on that briefly. I just wanted to also mention to the host here, I do have to jump off in 5 minutes because I'm actually going to be hosting with Vlad here in the audience. For those that want to jump over to that Twitter space, we're going to be doing the TFL Twitter space just after this as well. So happy to dive into some of these topics further there if people within the ecosystem would like to discuss those. But yeah, to your question, there's been a lot of discussion about security within the Cosmos ecosystem over the past several months, I'd say, maybe even over the last year. With discussions around like interchain security with the Cosmos Hub, as well as mesh security with Osmosis and what they're building. Fundamentally though, like empirically, if you look at why chains fail, historically in Cosmos, like I don't think there's ever been a chain that's failed because it got like 51% attacked. Every chain fails because of economic non-viability, right? This is the token gradually slowly dying. Right, these chains are not dying because like someone is coming in and is attacking the chain and then the chain dies, right? Like these chains are dying because of the economic viability of the token. And so when we were thinking about kind of, what is valuable for blockchain ecosystems that's going to enable this next evolution of the internet, like we talked about with these decentralized digitally native economies, what we realized was that we really needed to enable cross-chain collaboration, really needed to enable new chains to collaborate with larger chains. And this is exactly what Alliance enables. So it's very much an economic agreement between chains, like I described earlier. So it's not, so in the case of like interchain security, for instance, it's not actually a sovereign chain, right? Like a chain that's secured by Cosmos Hub doesn't have its own validator set. They're completely beholden to the Cosmos Hub validator set. Alliance allows you to maintain sovereignty as a chain and continue to, form these relationships with other chains where you're able to bring in diversified cash flows from other ecosystems. So you're not, it's not, the idea is not like increase the security of your chain. The idea is to basically buy immigration from other chains. So if you're a new ecosystem, you want to bring users and liquidity into your chain. You want to bring diversified cash flows into your chain, right? As a digital nation state, you want people to immigrate to your country, right? You want people to come and settle in your country. And that's what Alliance allows you to do, is it allows you to add these tokens from other chains as Alliance assets on your chain, allow users to stake them, which brings in TVL, which brings in diversified cash flows that diversifies and augments your staking yield. So native stakers earn not just your token, but tokens from these other uncorrelated higher liquidity, lower volatility tokens. Users then might explore different applications within your ecosystem as well, because they're already earning your token. So now that they're earning your token natively on your chain, now they might look for like ways to earn yield on that token. They might look at like, what can I actually do with this token? And this is where it kind of opens up this avenue where this chain is now strengthening the economic viability of the chain at the genesis of the chain using this tool. And it's also, like I said, it's still beneficial for the larger chain as well, because they're getting additional utility for their token.
Since we are getting closer to the hour, Zion, and since you have to jump in a second, just wanted to ask you one last question. So you guys are coming to Istanbul this year together with Terra. So yeah, just wanted to hear some of your thoughts. So what are you expecting from the city of Istanbul, from the Turkish crypto community? I mean, it's very vibrant here. And yeah, what can people expect from Terra at Cosmoverse 2023?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm personally very excited to meet some of the people from Turkey, meet some of the people that might be interested in getting into the Web3 space. So if there's any listeners here that are from Turkey that are interested in breaking into the Web3 space, definitely stop by the Terra booth and chat with us. Myself, Vlad, and a ton of other people from TFL will be there. And open to chatting with you about, working in the Web3 space, building in the Web3 space, different things like that. You know, Chris, TFL CEO, is going to be doing a keynote at the conference, talking about some of the projects that I talked about today, as well as addressing some other topics as well. I think we're also going to try and get some merch so people can stop by the Terra booth and get, I think we might do like some stickers, maybe some shirts, stuff like that. So for the lunatics that are going to be at Cosmoverse, definitely stop by. I'll definitely, if we can get some merch for the event, I'll definitely make sure that you guys get some.
Nice. Looking forward to that. Zion, again, it's getting closer to an hour, so we have to wrap it up here. So yeah, thank you so much for joining. Thank you for answering all of our questions. And I guess I see you in Istanbul.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. This is great. Thanks for everyone that came up and asked questions, and thanks for everyone for listening in. This is awesome. If anyone here wants to jump over to the other space, we're doing a Twitter space from the Terra account, so we can continue the conversation there. See you guys.
All right. Sounds good. See you there, guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of denolay, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few Z's. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.